You're listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness from LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.
I know it's early, but to look right now, they're in eighth place. They're 3-6 on the road. More importantly, OKC, Denver, Minnesota, Phoenix, Sacramento, all their rosters look better than the Lakers. They look better. They just look flat out better than the Lakers. That's the cause for concern, not the 44-point loss.
Now back to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
ESPN's Michael Wilbon right there talking about the Lakers and that loss. Nobody wants to talk about that 44-point loss that the Lakers suffered the other day to the Philadelphia 76ers. They want to talk about the in-season tournament, and that's what I want to talk about is the in-season tournament and how seriously they are taking it as the number one seed. And to help us break that down, we have Trevor Lane from LakersNation.com helping us kick off hour number three of the show here on Raider Nation Radio 920, Unnecessary Roughness. And Trevor, thanks so much for your time. We do appreciate you as always, my man. And I'll start with that, man. How serious have the Lakers taken this in-season tournament?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me. But yeah, I think the Lakers have, judging by looking at teams around the league, I think they've taken it as much, if not more serious than anybody else. I mean, they've talked at length about how much the $500,000 prize money actually means to them and how much they want to win this for some of the guys in the roster that don't make that much in this stage of their careers just yet. So they definitely have a little something extra in these tournament games from what we've seen so far. They are taking it seriously, and that's why they are the one seed coming out of the Western Conference right now.
How have you thought that the in-season tournament has gone so far? Like, I mean, it's at the end of November, and we're talking about the NBA, which normally doesn't happen. So has this thing been a success and what the NBA was looking for?
Yeah, overall, I think it's been successful. There were a lot of skeptics, myself included, going into this. But I think the one of the big questions was is $500,000 going to be enough to get the players to really buy in and to get them to take this seriously? And the answer has been yes. It's been a resounding yes. And so we've gotten some excellent basketball games out of this in the tournament across the league. We've gotten some phenomenal ones. We had a great one last night between the Kings and the Warriors.
Yeah.
So the level of play has stepped up. I think there's tweaks that they can certainly make. I still question the decision on the floors. I think some of those are a little too loud. Some of it's a little bit complicated for the casual fan, I think, to keep up with in terms of who comes out of each group. But overall, while you could make some minor changes here and there, for the most part, this has been a big success for the NBA, and it's been exactly what they've been looking for. And I'll tell you what, if this results in a Lakers-Celtics in-season tournament final, which could happen, if that happens, boy, the NBA will be celebrating a massive win for the in-season tournament, because that would be a dream scenario.
Yeah, no, that really would. You mentioned that Warriors and Kings game, and I was at the edge of my seat watching that one last night, and the thing was the Warriors had to win, but they had to win by 12 to be able to advance. That's the point differential. Do you think that makes sense? I've seen a lot of the Celtics players kind of push back because they don't like having to try to win by 23 or more as they had to do last night as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about, could you change this into something else? Could you incorporate your spot in the regular season standings as a tiebreaker for now? Could you incorporate something else, some other kind of way? But, you know, we see this, we see it in soccer. We see goal differential as a thing when you look at the World Cup. So yeah, this is something that I think it may be offensive in some way if you see a team running a score up on another team, but it's pretty common in sports around the world. And so if this is the best solution, I don't have a problem with it. I think there's other options to explore, but I mean, I think it adds a little bit more intrigue to a game. You're watching a game that's a blowout. You're watching it a lot more intently than you typically would, because you're trying to see if you can hit a specific point total. So I thought it was kind of fun, even if it may be, you know, a little awkward running the score up on a team.
Trevor Lane from LakersNation.com is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Unnecessary Roughness, talking all things in-season tournament when it comes to the Lakers. And look, you mentioned the Lakers and the Celtics. Well, they've got the Suns up first, so that's looking like a lot of fun, Trevor. That's a lot of stars on the court when they square up. How do you see this one shaking out? How much fun is this going to be?
Yeah, I mean, so far the Lakers have done really well against the Suns in the regular season. They're 2-0 against them, but a lot of it's going to depend on who's playing. You know, Bradley Beal will be out. Is Kevin Durant available? That's obviously going to be a big factor here. The game's going to be in LA because the Lakers are undefeated, so they've got the home court advantage against the Suns. If they win, they'll move on to Las Vegas for the semifinals. But if we're looking at this matchup, it should be a great one. It should be a fantastic battle between two teams that have a number of big, big names on them. And really anything can happen. Again, the Lakers have already beat the Suns a couple of times, and I don't know if you can beat this team three times in a row. The Suns are pretty good. They're on a 7-game win streak right now. So I think it's going to be a very close game. I think it's going to be a battle, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Should be a big one for the NBA.
These in-season tournament games are Tuesdays and Fridays. Does that affect how Coach Ham kind of coaches these guys up, makes the players available, or even maybe limits their minutes?
I don't think so. We haven't seen that just yet. I think that at this point, and the NBA, I think, played it smart by making the in-season tournament games all count as regular season games with the exception of the final. Until the in-season tournament becomes something that is recognized, something that has some prestige behind it, and that will take time. Until that's the case, I don't think we're going to see teams specifically strategize towards just winning tournament games or resting players in nights before tournament games or things of that nature. We're seeing players take it seriously, but they all count as regular season games. Obviously, every team wants to win an NBA championship or wants to get to where they want to go in terms of playoffs or whatever. That's going to be the primary goal. So I don't see teams switching up their rotations or anything like that in order to stay fresh for tournament games just yet. Maybe at some point in the future that'll come. But so far, I think everybody is sticking with what's worked for them.
Again, Trevor Layton for LakersNation.com is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Unnecessary Roughness. I did want to ask you just about the Lakers in general, and I know they're about to tip off with the Pistons, but I'll avoid the blowout to Philadelphia. I'll just call that a bad day, just to have a bad day. I guess every team has it. I know that's not normal for a LeBron game, but we'll skip over that. What has made LeBron continue to play at such a high level at his age? It's like I feel like I keep waiting for him to slow down, and then I can say, okay, yeah, there it is right there. There is starting to – that's a little bit of a kryptonite. But it seems like LeBron doesn't really have that. What's been going on?
Yeah, what he's doing right now is unprecedented. I think it's important that we note that because there's been players that have played to his age before, but there's nobody that's done what he's doing right now at his age. This is completely unheard of. And it's easy when you see LeBron just to go, oh, it's LeBron, and kind of become immune to it and not pay as much attention to it or understand what we're really seeing happen on a night-to-night basis, because it's incredible what he's doing. He's not able to take over every single game all game like he used to. He's not able to lock down the opposing team's best player all game like he used to. But he can still get out there and get it done, especially when he pushes down on the gas pedal. You can see him kind of picking and choosing his spots. But he is still an absolutely phenomenal player. You know, when he was talking about maybe retiring last year, he said, well, I'm still better than 95% of the league right now, so I don't know about walking away. And he's not wrong. You see it out there on the floor. He is still absolutely one of the very best players in the league, and it's incredible what he's accomplishing at his age.
Yeah, you know, it was wild. I can't remember exactly what game it was I was watching, but it looked like his ankle just about hit the floor, and I thought, oh man, that looks like a really bad injury. And he even looked like it was a bad injury, and it might have been a knee and an ankle combination. It looked really bad. And then like 3 minutes later, he's back out there on the court, and I was like, okay, I guess it wasn't that bad. It's like, even when it looks like he's about to slow down and something's about to happen, he just keeps on going and keeps on going. It's really been a hell of a testament to what he's been able to do at his age.
Yeah, and this is a guy who from day one, you know, from the moment he came into the league, he's been very focused on making sure that he's in top condition, that he's taking care of his body, especially as he's gotten older. He's focused even more and more on that. We've heard about the obscene amounts of money he spends per year on his body. This is where that's paying off, right? It's the mental focus as well as everything he's done physically. This is what allows him to play this long. And I think it's a trend that we're seeing. Players are starting to play longer and longer in this league, and I think that's something that's going to continue. Maybe not to the degree that LeBron is right now,
right,
but it's becoming a thing where players have a longer lifespan in the NBA.
Well, he's been amazing to watch, and hopefully everyone appreciates what they're seeing, because, again, that's just something that doesn't come around every single day or every single year. Again, Trevor Layton from LakersNation.com is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920. We'll wrap up here. I'll let you get to the game, the Lakers and the Pistons. I wanted to ask about the trade deadline. There's been a lot of reports and rumors about the Lakers having some interest in some potential Bulls like Zach LaVine, maybe DeMar DeRozan, or even old friend Alex Caruso. What are you thinking and what are you hearing about the Lakers and any activity and any action that they may have coming up?
So I've heard the Lakers will have some interest at the trade deadline. That's nothing new. They're going to have interest in a lot of players out there, and we'll have to see how the trade market develops. But They want to see what their team looks like when they're fully healthy. That's sort of the caution right now from the Lakers. They're not ready to do anything right now, nor can they. They've got to wait for a number of guys to become trade eligible, which is going to happen December 15th and then January 15th for a couple of guys, Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura. So they're not ready to make any kind of move right now. They want to see what the team looks like when they're fully healthy. They have not had that all season long. They've been missing Jared Vanderbilt. They've been missing Gabe Vincent. Rui Hachimura is out right now. Then they'll assess and figure out what they have and what they don't have. But when players like Zach LaVine pop up on the market, yeah, the Lakers are going to have some interest, but they're going to have to question whether or not it's worth surrendering all the assets it's going to take to get him. I think there's a cleaner path to getting our old buddy Alex Caruso back, or perhaps DeMar DeRozan or someone in that tier, as well as less long-term risk because of the long-term deal that Zach LaVine has. So that's what I expect the Lakers to do. I think we'll see them make some kind of a move, but I don't think it's going to be a Zach LaVine move. I think it'll be more of kind of a on-the-margins move for a shorter-term contract, and Alex Caruso, a DeMar DeRozan, which will fall in line with the way they approached last year's trade deadline as well. That's what I'm expected to see out of them. But we do have a ways to go before the February 8th deadline.
Well, we'll get out with this. What about the roster right now? How do you look at it? How do you think that it's shaping up? As you mentioned, they haven't been healthy all year. But, I mean, you know what these guys are capable of doing. What does it look like right now? And are one of those guys that you talked about, are they needed by this Lakers team to go where they want to go?
Yeah, I think there's some skill sets that they definitely need. They could use a strong guard defender. They could use three-point shooting, of course. I think they could use a big physical post player. They don't really have that aside from Anthony Davis. So there's definitely some needs for this team right now. So far, things offensively have really been disappointing. They haven't come together to the degree that you would hope. They're not crashing the offensive glass at all. That's a tactical decision. They're not hitting enough of their free throws. They're not hitting enough for, three-point shots. They've got to get better on the offensive end. The defense, aside from that game against the Sixers, has been okay, has been passable. But they've got to figure some things out on offense. Maybe that comes as they get healthy, but I'm looking more and more like I think they need to make a trade or two to add a couple more pieces to this team, particularly if they can find somebody that can provide some offensive firepower from behind the three-point line. That would go a long way.
Really good stuff, as always. Trevor Lane, LakersNation.com. What do you got coming out that we all need to be on the lookout for?
Yeah, well, we have the LakersNation.com live post-game show, which will take place right after this game, Lakers versus Pistons. You can come join us over on the Lakers Nation YouTube channel, and we break down the entire game right after it happens. We take questions and comments from the fans as we go through everything. So that's a great place to be. I break down all the different trade rumors, all the salary cap info, and everything else over at YouTube.com/LakersNation. So that's a great place to find all of our stuff. And then the Lakers Nation podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts as well.
Well, there you go, man. Great stuff as always. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Very informative. And Mama Q is a huge Lakers fan, so she's always a fan of Trevor when you come on, because she gets to get her Lakers feel as well as her Raider feel. So thanks so much for your time, brother.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
No doubt. No doubt. Again, Trevor Lane, LakersNation.com. He's our go-to when it comes to all things Lakers. And they're doing really well, as they are the number one seed in the in-season tournament. I've been really intrigued and enjoying what I've seen from that in-season tournament. Now, I'll tell you, I don't like all the courts that they're playing on, but outside of that, I like the theory behind it. I thought that Kings-Warriors game last night was fantastic. The Kings get the victory after being down 24. Shout out to my Golden State Warriors for all their turnovers that they had that helped lead the Kings on the way back. But it was a great game. It was a great game, great finish by the Kings. And the Warriors had to win that one, not only win the game, but win by 12 to be able to advance in the in-season tournament. And, well, they lost outright. But, yeah, it's just, again, that's a really good thing that the NBA has done. Normally nobody would be talking about the league right now, November 29th. And usually it's not till around Christmas when we start talking all things NBA. But now the in-season tournament has changed things. And, of course, that in-season tournament, the championships, will take place right here in Las Vegas. Just got the email earlier today from the NBA that the credentials are approved. So this show may be generated from the NBA in-season tournament when it's here. And that's coming up quick, fast, and in a hurry, right around the corner. And we'll be having tickets that we're going to give out to that as well. So if you're in and around the area and you want to go to the finals of the in-season tournament, we will have your tickets. We always have the best tickets here. Our guy Craig does a fantastic job of promotions. We have concerts. We have all kind of games, sporting events, whatever the case may be. We always find a way to get our hands on some tickets. And so to have those big-time tickets right there for that in-season tournament is going to be awesome. We're looking to see if we can get some tickets for the Pac-12 championship coming up on Friday. That's a quick turnaround, so maybe we won't get those. But we're working on that. Plus, of course, UNLV and Boise State, the Mountain West Championship going on Saturday at Allegiant Stadium. Again, 4:16 is the time. Many thanks to my guy, Trevor Lane, for joining us. Give us a few minutes talking all things Lakers. Want to go back to the don'tbebroke.com text line real quick at 69187, keyword R&R. Then we'll let you hear from some Raider assistant coaches like Scott Turner, the passing game coordinator. We got some sounds from him thanks to Vinny Bonsignor, who was able to provide that. But this one comes from the 360. Speaking of Bo Hardigree, I'd like to see him dial up more passes into the end zone when in the red zone. Too much reliance on players making a play and breaking tackles to get in. When I watched Aiden's college highlights, his red zone passing into the end zone is what impressed me the most. We saw the touch pass to Mayer in the Jets game. Let's see more of that. We have one of the best receiving corps in the league and need to take better advantage of their ability to get open in the end zone and make contested catches. That's from the 360, and I agree, and I've been saying that for a while. Don't want to always have to rely on players to break tackles and get into the end zone. So many times it's like a dump off, or even like Jacoby Myers' touchdown. I mean, it was a 19-yard catch and run. Most of it was run, right? I mean, it was a nice little pass to Jacoby to pick up the first down, and then he happened to do the rest with it and get into the end zone. But I'm with you. I like to see more passes into the end zone as well. You've got to be able to have that. You've got to be able to make those passes, and the weapons, they have them to do it. They absolutely do. But it seems like too often than not, they'll get down there and they'll decide to run on first and second down, or they'll throw something short, or they'll throw one pass. It's always seems like it's never a rhyme or reason. And that's going back to the newness of AP and Bo Hardigree. They're new at what they're doing, especially Bo Hardigree when it comes to the play calling. So he's got to get into a rhythm. He's got to get into a lather. And that's what I hope that he's doing and the coaching staff is doing this week, just kind of, okay, in this situation, what should we do? Like, I really hope they're spending a lot of time in the lab. Of course, the players can't go out there and execute right now. That's fine. They need to get out there and get healthy and get a little bit of rest. They played 12 straight games. But hopefully the coaching staff is able to just see, identify, break down what was going right and what was going wrong in the four games that they had before this bye week. That's a really good text. Thanks so much for that. I appreciate you. Got a text from the 626. Mr. Q, grade at the bye is an F. If you're not in the playoff picture or in the hunt, it's a complete failure. Go Raiders. Short, sweet, simple. I appreciate the feedback. Mark in Jersey, O-line F, quarterback play D, special teams C-, coaching C, effort C, team average D equals 5-7. You are what your record says you are, which has been disappointing season. Mark in Jersey. Again, I'm good with it. Straight to the point, right? Boom, boom, boom. That's all good. Trey in Kansas City hit us up earlier. I was talking about the movie Lean on Me, and I was saying I was asking Ari if he remembered who Crazy Joe was and if that was Morgan Freeman. And Trey in Kansas City said Morgan Freeman played Crazy Joe. So there you go. It's not very many movies that I know, but that one was a good one. They used to call me Crazy Joe. Now they call me Batman. But he said it with more bass in his voice, more anger in his voice. Like, he was that guy that you were actually scared of. Ain't nobody scared of no teachers no more, right? That's a shame. But ain't nobody scared of teachers no more. But that dude, even watching the movie, I was like, oh, that guy ain't playing around. That dude, he's ready for some. He wants that smoke, right? He wants that smoke. So I'm good at that. Sir Whiskey Ray said, getting back to Madden football. Adam Hill brought that up in the first hour. Q, we love Madden football. However, we'll stick to playing our own video game. No disrespect, but we love our game. Sincerely, Tecmo Bowl on Nintendo. That's from Sir Whiskey Ray. He always got a good funny. I can appreciate that. Let's see. We also got another one. Where'd it go? I thought I had another one that was about Madden, but I don't see it. Oh, yeah. Here we go. No, that's not it. All right, I thought I saw one more that was from – oh, yeah, Hardcore Raider. Here it is. By the way, I'm pretty good at Madden, so with Adams Hill assessment, I qualify to be a coach. I should be the Raiders' next head coach. Laughing my ass off, Raiders. And, again, I knew that that's never going to get enough play, right? There's going to be so much that's going to be built off that. When Adam Hill said that, if you're just tuning in, he was talking in the first hour that there was a – like a some kind of, what did he say, Ari, a thesis? Was it a thesis or a report? What was it that was written? Do you remember?
I don't know if the word thesis popped up. Actually, that might have been it, yeah.
I think that's what he said. Yeah, I think he said it was a thesis that was written by an Ivy League student, and they were talking about Madden and the fact that NFL coaches should play Madden, not to play the game, not to, you know, try to win the game, this, that, and the other, but just because, like, time management, there's certain things that go into the game that is actually, like, realistic. And I know I even saying it right now makes me laugh, so I get why all the jokes are coming from it, but it was something that he even said, that I know this is going to sound silly, it's going to sound like a joke, but this is something that, you know, he had read and he was going to try to find it. So that's where all that's coming from. If you're just tuning in and you're just hearing something about Madden and wondering how the hell we got onto the Madden conversation here on Raider Nation Radio 920. What do you got for me, Ari?
I got a caller, Raider Dave in Denver, but I also just think it's funny to say, what do these Ivy League guys know? And I think that's what people think when they hear this, but they know a thing or two.
Patrick Graham is an Ivy League guy.
They spend a lot of time, like, whether it's a thesis or whatever it is. Yeah, I mean, I don't know who it was. I'm just saying, you
right.
know, maybe give it a shot. Just listen.
There's Patrick Graham is an Ivy guy. Ivy League guy. Mike McDaniel, the head coach of the Dolphins, he's an Ivy League guy. They actually went to the same school. Jason Garrett, longtime NFL head coach, Ivy League guy. Matter of fact, my buddy Steve Foster, believe it or not, Foss, who's been on the show many times, he's always the guy that whenever I'm around Foss at the Super Bowl, I know something's bound to go wrong. Great dude, but I guarantee something's going to go wrong. I'll call the wife and be like, wife. So I'm with Foss, and she'll be like, oh, Lord, what happened? What happened? He's a great dude. Don't get me wrong. He's actually from ESPN San Antonio. He does some work in Austin as well. Really great dude. But it's always something whenever Foss is around. Something always pops up. Smart dude. He went and played football at Princeton. So, and he was actually teammates and roommates with Jason Garrett. And another funny little fact about Foss, those aren't the only two guys that went to Princeton. Do you know Superman went to Princeton as well? And that's Foss's best friend. Not Christopher Reeves, but what was the other? What was the other Superman? Not Clark Kent.
Am I supposed to know this?
Yeah, come on, man. You can't help me out with nothing.
Dean Cain?
Yes, Dean Cain.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I didn't know if you meant the actor or like.
Yeah, the actor.
I honestly
Superman.
Thought maybe it was a football player that I didn't know was his nickname.
No,
is Superman.
Dean Cain.
All right.
Dean
yeah.
Cain. Yeah, he actually has a house in Malibu.
Really?
Yeah. So yeah, Dean Cain, Superman is Foss's best friend, and he went to Princeton as well. They were all part of the team together. So yeah, Dean Cain, Foss, Jason Garrett, they're all running buddies. So there you go. So actually. If people laugh and say, oh, what does an Ivy League guy know about the NFL and football? Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. I'll just throw that out there and say that. Let's go out to the phone lines real quick, talk to our guy, Raider Dave in Denver. Welcome to the show.
Hey there. How are you? You know, I think grades, whenever that's around, it's always something that follows expectations. And I think that Raider Nation and you too, everybody had an expectation for this offense and all these weapons and everything to do a certain amount. But if you watched Reservoir Dogs, I think it was Reservoir Dogs, there's a fixer, right?
Okay.
In that movie?
Yeah.
Quentin Tarantino movie. Well, in junior high, I had a fixer. I didn't know I had a fixer until I got a 5 on a report card. And back then, they graded with numbers. 1 was an A, 5 was an F. And so I was complaining about, like, man, I can't take this home, this 9-week report card. I can't start off 7th grade like this. He's like, let me fix it. And so, you know, Whiskey Pete or whatever his name was at that time. I don't even remember, but, you know, he ended up having the red pen, you know? So I'm like, well, I don't know what to, he goes, let me fix this. So he takes that 5 and you got a horizontal line on the 5. Well, you take that further across to the left past the vertical part, and then you put a vertical part through the regular horizontal part of the 5 and it becomes a 3+. And so, you know, I don't think I'm giving any clues away to anybody young because I don't think they do numbers anymore. But AP is the fixer. And I think this thing has been a failure. And with him coming in and doing what he's done, it has made it a 3+, a C+, although even it doesn't seem like they've really earned it because there are still so many egregious things that are wrong. They can't get third downs. They can't sustain drives. The offensive line, we all knew, especially on the left end, that it was something that needed to be addressed. They got Van Roten when nobody really thought that Barr did a terrible job.
Right.
But it seems to me that a C-plus is right about where they're at, and certainly a little bit above average because everybody still has interest. Nobody's really given up on this team, even though, you know, another loss to Kansas City, and it looks like it's an 8-9 losing season. So anyway, I think a C-plus is about it.
I like it. Hey, good stuff, man. Good stuff. Great breakdown right there. And Ari said, Q, you know you never seen Reservoir Dogs. No, I mean, look, hey, you know how it goes down, man. You know how it is when it comes to movies, man. I don't see too many movies, but I love the fixer. I love the idea of the fixer. You got to have a fixer, and that's who Antonio Pierce could be, right? And maybe he is that guy, right? I think that that's a great breakdown, the fixer, right? Because clearly what was going on before he took over as the interim head coach was broken, was wrong, needed fixing. And so he's doing his damnedest to try to fix it. I could really appreciate that. That was a good breakdown, Raider Dave. Thanks so much for that. And we'll see. The good thing about it is, as I was talking about grades, there's still 5 games to go. So these grades, every one of them that we've rolled out is likely to change. Now, we're all hoping it's going to change for the better, but it's likely to change one way or the other. So we'll see what it looks like at the end of the day. 5 games in the books. Then at the end of the season, when that final Denver game is over, assuming that they don't earn any extra playing time, then we can come back and say, okay, now what would you look at the team? How would you look at this team, and what would you, kind of grade would you give them? You know, how would you kind of summarize the 2023 season? Raider Dave, great stuff, man. 4:27 is the time. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Scott Turner, the passing game coordinator, had an opportunity to catch up with the media earlier this week. You'll hear that conversation next here on Raider Nation Radio 920.
This podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness on LVSportsNetwork.com is brought to you by Porta Subs. Make sure you check out Porta Subs' 6-foot party trays. They're perfect for game days. You'll get your choice of 3 made-to-order classic subs made with premium meats and cheese on your choice of fresh baked bread, loaded with fresh veggies, toppings, and sauces. Game day 6-foot trays serve 12 to 16 people, so you can sit back and enjoy the game. Available at all Las Vegas area Porta Subs, neighborhood sandwich shops, order ahead at PortaSubs.com.
Don't take anything for granted. You know, don't take the wins for granted. Don't take the losses. We treat them the same way. You know, at the end of the day, whenever this is over with and how it ends and the season's over, we'll look back and say, okay, these are things you got to work on going forward. And I think for me personally, it's just sitting back looking at how the game is managed. Is it the ideas is right? Is what we're practicing showing up on the game field? And that's my job to get that better.
You're listening to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q. Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Coach Antonio Pierce right there talking about improvements that the team needs to make, improvements that he can hopefully work on throughout the course of the bye week, and, of course, take that to the practice field when the team gets back next week as they prepare for the Minnesota Vikings Week 14 action. Before we get to passing game coordinator Scott Turner, had an opportunity to catch up with him at the Intermountain Health Performance Center earlier this week. Vinny Bonsignor did and sent the sound over to us. Let's go out to the phone lines real quick, talk to our good friend Raider X. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Q. So this is the third quarter report card, right? That's what you're giving me right before we kind of make that last push to,
yeah,
to graduate or something.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, man. I said, where were you in hour number one, man?
And I had to, just like a true Raider fan, I had to go through the bumps and bruises, my brother.
Yep. Yes, sir.
I had to go through my bumps and bruises. Well, you know what? You know, last season, I'm going to tie it all in because this is how I feel. Last season, you know, we felt it. We got the giddy ups and got all excited. And we knew going into this season, we're like, dude, you know, we saw that, you know, that dude that trying to drive that clutch, trying to drive that manual transmission. You know, the car got going, got popped out of first gear, got it happening. And all of a sudden it stalled. Like, damn it. You know, the car's moving, man. I got a nice little Mustang behind it. Gives a little giddy up. Man, you know what? I need a better driver. I need a dude that can drive a clutch, you know, can sit there, pop that manual, switch my gears. And so we got rid of Carr and got Jimmy G. We're like, oh, now this offense is going to be just humming. It's going to happen. We got all the pieces. You know, we stole Michael Mayer in the second round. We got the 7th overall pick. We're like, damn, we're killing it, man. You know, we got a couple studs in there, some players. We got, you know, Marcus Peters. Woo! And I was like, oh, going into the season, man, I'm telling you, I had some high hopes, and then boom, here we are, my brother. You know, and going through, getting rid of, you know, Josh McDaniels, I'm like, damn, you know, it's like, and like waking up from a bad dream, and all of a sudden, you know, you get a sip of water, and you're like, oh man, I feel a little refreshed, and so now you know, so at that point, I'm like, damn, this is like an F. And all of a sudden, now you got, you know, AT coming in here like, oh, man, I washed my face off. It's a fresh new start. You know, the day is going to be better. And that's how I feel. It's like it's coming up. You know, got out of the F, got the D minus, got the D. I think right now we're about a C minus.
Okay.
Now, to me, if we can finish this season at a C plus, I don't think we can get to a B, my brother. But if we can get to a C plus,
yeah,
I will be happy, because that means, you know, from taking it as far down. I mean, I got where everybody's talking about, you know, the talent and the roster and all that stuff. But the thing is, people were hurt. You know, people were really down and doubting themselves. You had some people questioning their motivation, even wanting to play the game that they love. You know, that guy's really in their feelings, man. I mean, that sucks. Because a lot of guys, you know, obviously the money's great, but they do it because they love it. It's a joy. It's a passion. It's a dream come true. And you had a dude that, you know, had a regime that was breaking that spirit. I mean, you saw guys like Hunter Renfro. I mean, that kid was broken. You know, you have guys that are truly, you know, inspired. You know, I mean, going through so much, you know, adversity. You know, guys like, you know, Josh Jacobs. I mean, this guy was angry. He was really angry. And, you know, just seeing him turn around and find that passion back, that gives me hope. That really gives me hope. So, you know, if you can see the upswing, that's all I want to see is the upswing. Because I do believe with a few little tweaks here and there and some, you know, some fixes like you're talking about, I think the Raiders can prevail. And that's what we've always been looking for, is that consistency, that true pass, you know, and making something happen. And what they need is somebody to truly guide them. We haven't had a true leader, and God bless Mark Davis, but we really haven't had a true leader of the Raiders organization since Al Davis. And God bless his soul, you know, I mean, that's what truly was that light. That is that ever-burning light that brings the Raiders to greatness, and we need to get that fire back and bring them forth. I mean, that's like going back when, you know, we got Ronnie Lott. We're like, damn, you know, we got a dog. You know, I mean, you get that influx in there. So I'm excited. I really am excited. I think that AP can be the future. I'm buying into it. I really do believe that he can. And I think they messed up with Versace, but I don't think Mark Davis is going to go for it twice, especially if they improve, my brother. That's all I got. I appreciate you listening to me.
Hey, man, great call. Great call. I love the breakdown. I really do. And that's what it's all about, man, especially during the bye week, right? I mean, let's not have problems with having good conversations, right? I mean, and this is what we do here, and I think that all the feedback that we've gotten, good, bad, ugly, whatever the case may be, I think it's been great today. I really have, because it just kind of lets you know where Raider Nation is when they're looking at their favorite team, right? And how I'm looking at when I'm looking at my favorite team, and when I'm covering them, and when I'm in the locker room talking to the players, and this, that, and the other. And it was so funny, man. I had a dude tell me, you shouldn't tell the players that you appreciate them. I said, why? This is a real conversation I had. And he said, you shouldn't tell the players that you appreciate them. I said, why? And he said, because you don't appreciate them, you cover them. And I said, no, I don't understand what that even means. That doesn't make any sense to me. I definitely appreciate them. I appreciate them talking in the locker room. They don't have to. They could blow us off. They could not give us a real answer. They can this, that, and the other. Why wouldn't I appreciate them? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. And so I don't know. It's kind of going back to Raider X's call, you know, about passion and fun and enjoying what you do. As sounded to me in that conversation that I quickly escaped from was, that's just someone who doesn't like what we do and what they do, and they have to drag their tail to work. And that's, I tell you, I tell it all the time. I tell the wife all the time, and I'll tell anyone who listens, everyone on this radio station. I'll tell my boss, Natalie, if I got to go knock on her door and tell her, I'll tell anyone, the day I come in here and this is not fun for me is the day that I'm checking out. Straight up. Straight up. I mean, that's what it's all about. The day is no longer fun. The day that I have to convince myself to go to work or convince myself to put a headset on to do a show, that's when it's time to check out. Because it's not about, you know, well, what are you going to do for work? It's not about that. It's about, I'm cheating you. I'm cheating the job. I'm cheating the career. I'm cheating the path. The day that all of a sudden it's become some kind of chore is when you're doing it wrong. And it's almost like going out in the field and stealing, right? Going on the field and just collecting a check and not really trying. An ole tackle, right? Not really appreciating that you're out there. The day that I have to and I don't appreciate coming in here or appreciate the people I work with, like Ari or anyone who calls in or texts in or tweets in, or, you know, the Raiders organization, or just having the opportunity to be in Allegiant Stadium, whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday morning, Thursday, whatever the case may be. Yeah, it's everyone always says, oh, man, you're working all the time. Yeah, okay, that's cool. But the minute that I can't appreciate that for what it is the minute I got to check out. The minute I got to say, hey, this has been fun. Let me go to the grocery store and bag groceries. Or let me go work in the meat department. Or let me go do this, that, and the other. I only reference those things because I've done that in my life. Right? Let me go back to selling Kirby's. Now, that's a job. You want to talk about a job? That's a job, brother. Look out. Here comes the Kirby, man. The Kirby guy's coming. Yeah, we know what he's going to tell us. It's so light. It drives itself. You can write it off on your taxes. It helps with allergies. Look at it can vacuum your bed. Look at all those dust mites in your bed. Your kids are sleeping with these things. You don't want your kids to sleep with that. You can fix that right now. It's only $2,000, and you can write it off on your taxes. This vacuum is clearly broken. Let me sit it outside because it's broken. Oh, wait. I'm not selling a Kirby. Sorry.
Thankful for that.
Hey, brother. Hey, man.
We all got to start somewhere.
No, that's how you do it. That's how you do it. Oh, no, dog, that's how you do it. That's exactly how you sell a Kirby. You show them that their vacuum is broken. I mean, do I got to go through the demonstration for you?
No, that's all right, but I believe you.
I'm telling you. You get the baking soda, and you're not cooking up, you know what. You get the baking soda. You put it in the carpet. Simple as that. You get the vacuum. You have a little clip on it where it has the little black pad because baking soda is white. So you go over that spot 50 times and you see all the baking soda that you get. But you only do that after you go over that spot with your vacuum. Whatever vacuum you have, you go over that spot 100 times with your vacuum. And then you go and do that with the Kirby 50 times and see how much baking soda comes up. So obviously your vacuum's not working because I just got all the baking soda up. So now I've shown you that your vacuum is broken. Okay. So now I sit your vacuum outside and say it's broken. What, you don't keep trash, do you? If it's broken, why would you hold on to it? And then they say, no, I wouldn't. And so then you say, all right, cool. Put it outside. We'll put it on the what day is the garbage come? Tomorrow? Cool. Sit out here for the trash. Or I'll give you $200 for that broken vacuum. Now all of a sudden I've intrigued you. Then I take the vacuum and the attachment off, and I go to your kid's bed because the kids are the most sensitive that you'll ever be, especially when you're talking to a mom. All right, here we go. Let me vacuum the mattress real quick. And then all the dust mites come up, and you see it, and it's disgusting. And at that point, you're like, oh, my God, I don't want little Johnny sleeping with these dust mites. Well, you know how you can fix that? You can vacuum your bed just like I just did, and you can do it on the regular so little Johnny's bed is clean. And plus, it's allergen-free. And if you have allergies, by the way, you can write this off on your taxes. And if you have your own business, you can write this off on your taxes. Matter of fact, you can really be smart, and you can get one for upstairs and downstairs if you have a two-level house. So now I've convinced you to buy two, and they cost $4,000, but I'm going to give you a discount because you are my friend. So I'm only going to charge you $1,000 for one, and I'm going to charge you $2,000 full price for the other. So now it's $3,000, and I've made up probably about a $700 commission, and I'm good.
And
about an hour and a half later, you're giving me a beer and signing off that you want to buy a Kirby, and we're straight.
I was going to say you might have a repeat customer there too. Now the question is, does someone then say, I don't know, though. I don't want you appreciating us for buying this or for selling. That's the question.
No.
That's my point. Nobody comes to other people's jobs, other jobs, and says, I don't think you should appreciate this or that. So
yeah. No, that's hilarious. But that's how you do it.
Good sales tips from Q the Salesman.
ABC. There's definitions. ABC. Always be closing.
That's right.
And never talk yourself out of a sale. Right? When you're there, they're hot, they're ready to sign. Boom. Don't convince them more. Right? And by the way, on top of that, it also does tricks. It also, you can blow up an electric pool. You can do whatever you want to do. You can clean out your car. Like, hey, once the demonstration's over, once they say yes.
That right there is why one of the reasons I'm not really made for sales, because I'll just keep going.
Because you'll keep selling.
Yeah, somebody have to be like, stop talking.
Yeah.
And then that'd be it.
Yep, that'd be me. I'd be like, hey, dog. Look, they're already going to the fridge to get the beer, man. It's cool. We're good. We're friends.
Don't talk them out of it.
Exactly. That's how I started drinking beer to begin with. I had my first beer inside someone's house selling them a Kirby. They're like, hey, you want a Corona? I was like, do you? They're like, yep. I said, I sure do.
You were over 21, of course.
Of course. Huh? You think anyone under 21 would think about trying to sell a Kirby? I couldn't even spell Kirby at 21.
I guess not.
I'm trying to tell. I don't even know what a vacuum is at 21 years old, man. Of course. Hey, are you serious? 4:44 is the time. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, close out the show. You never know what direction it's going to go. Sometimes it goes to Kirby Sales. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
You're listening to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q. Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
And I promise you, we're not selling Kirby's. We're not selling Kirby's, I promise you, here on Unnecessary Roughness, Raider Nation Radio 920. Got my man Ari back in the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. I'm in Studio Q, which is the home studio. Each and every day, the show is brought to you by the Jewelers of Las Vegas. They do a fantastic job. You need something for the holidays, want some special gift that your loved one will remember forever, the Jewelers of Las Vegas is the only place to go to get the hookup and get taken care of. And please believe that loved one will remember that gift forever. The Jewelers of Las Vegas is where you need to go. Earlier this week, the assistant coaches talking about Chris Ash, talking about Scott Turner, Kennedy Polamalu, Rob Leonard, and others had an opportunity to catch up with multiple members of the media. And Vinny Bonsignor from the Morning Tailgate with Clay Baker and Lindsey Brown had an opportunity to go ahead and capture some of that sound and send it over to us. Here's passing game coordinator Scott Turner.
I think just, you know, his consistent approach, you know, and then you just see him growing week in and week out. And that doesn't mean necessarily the results are always better, but just like, because every game's tough, you know, every game's going to give you a different set of challenges. And you see veteran quarterbacks that, you know, will have bad weeks, you know what I mean? But just, you know, him responding from bad plays and staying focused, you know, obviously we didn't get the win yesterday, but he did a lot of good things in that game, you know, especially early. You know, and I think the more experience he's getting, you know, he's kind of being able to keep that, you know what I mean, in his memory bank and learn from it, you know, and he's avoiding, he's doing a really nice job of avoiding the negative plays, you know what I mean, especially more recently. And, you know, obviously you're never going to totally eliminate him, but he's doing a nice job of that. And I think just learning and playing faster, you know, is really what you're seeing from him.
There's something kind of unique in his regard. He's a 25-year-old rookie who was in college from 2016 to last year.
Right.
You know, COVID played a role in that, a bunch of different things. But did he come to you guys as a, not a finished player, but a more mature maybe guy?
Definitely very high maturity level. You know, and I've seen that, you know, and sometimes that has to do with the age. Sometimes it's just that's how guys are. I've had guys that are, you know, in college for 3 years that are just very mature guys. But that's how he is, you know, and his approach, like he's always had a very business-like approach. I mean, even when, you know, he was the third guy and wasn't necessarily playing, like his preparation was always elite, you know, like he was, you know, and I think that's why he's been able to step in and, you know, played well. And again, like I said, not been perfect, but he's gotten better and he's, you know, done well for himself so far.
What's next up for him?
I think it's just, you know, you know, things are happening faster for him, which is good. And I think you got to continue to increase that because not only like, you know, we talk about the pass rush getting to you, but, you know, coverage is, you know, it's open, but then it closes, you know, and seeing things quickly, getting the ball out of his hand, getting the ball, because the quicker you get the ball in our playmaker's hands, the more yards normally you can get. So it's not only making the play, but maximizing the play. And then, you know, just doing it consistently. And let's say he's, you know, hitting at a certain percentage of plays now, like, you know, increasing that, making it 2-3 more plays a game, that because like that can be the difference between scoring, you know, 17 and 24 or whatever, you know. And I think just, you know, that type of thing. And it's sometimes it's as big as 2 or 3 plays a game, because, you know, one play might get you a first down conversion, which gets you 3 more play, you know what I mean, which is, you know, and that's where, you know, the margin is thin in this league, you know. And I think those types of things and continue to grow that way, and that's going to open up more opportunities for him.
I think the bye week comes at a good time for him, or I'm sure he's kind of on a roll a little bit here.
Yeah, he is. It's still, I mean, I think it's good, you know, for the team in general. I mean, you play, you know, 12 straight weeks is tough, you know, and, you know, it's obviously a physical game, and I think it's going to be good for everybody just to, you know, we've been done pretty well injury-wise, you know, but just because guys are playing doesn't mean they're not banged up a little bit, you know, so I think it'd be good for everyone to physically, mentally kind of reload and kind of hit it running in this final stretch.
Passing game coordinator Scott Turner right there. You can hear him meeting with the media. And what it is, it's not a scrum. It is, but it isn't. It's actually more than that. And that's why you can hear all the sounds in the background all these different coaches are, one is in one corner, another's in another corner, another one's in the front of the classroom, one's in the middle. Like, you know what I mean? It's like five or six of them, so you got to pick and choose where you go. And I was fortunate enough to be able to be there last time they had that, but this one they had a little bit later on in the day. And, of course, we're here on the Necessary Roughness, so I wasn't able to do that. But really good stuff right there. Obviously, Scott Turner talking all things Aiden O'Connell and you know, what he's seen from him, his growth, and that's what it's all about. When it comes to that young man, I don't want to go ahead and say who he is or who he isn't right now, because I realize he still has games to be played. Still got five more games to be played before I think it's fair for us to come to the front of the congregation and say who's what and who's not. Right, I just think that that's fair. So we've got more assistant coaches sound to get to. Again, it's the bye week, so it's not like you got to prepare for another team or start to preview another team. We'll prepare for Minnesota, prepare for them, and start learning who the Minnesota Vikings are with Justin Jefferson coming back. We'll do that next week. I don't know, the week of the game. That makes sense to me. So we'll do that next week here on Unnecessary Roughness. Raider Dad Bod, real quick on the don'tbebroke.com text line, said, "You got me sold, Q. Take my money, give me three vacuums. You can sell ice to an Eskimo." There you go. I'm not mad at that. Sir Whiskey Ray said, and he's sending this text in as the Girl Scouts, "Q, don't try to sell me anything, especially vacuums. We know your game, and we're on to you. Sincerely, the Girl Scouts." I'll tell you what, the key to the Girl Scouts are, and they're hard to resist. They really are. They've got game. Like, I think I could sell something. Girl Scouts could sell anything. And now they're so skilled, they've got the cube with them. Back in the day, you used to be able to say, "Oh, I ain't got no cash on me." They're like, "Oh, it's okay. We take Zelle. We take this. We got the cube. We can do all that." So the key to this is, if you don't want to fall for the Girl Scout cookie trap, don't make eye contact. When you see them in front of the store, and I tell the wife this all the time, "Uh-oh, there's the Girl Scouts." Don't make eye contact. Look the other way. Don't make eye contact. Because once you do, once you lock eyes, it's over. Then it's like, how many boxes do you want? It's not even do you want any, it's how many do you want? And you have to decide 5, 4, 3, 2, or 1. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
And thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness here on LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.